Our first lesson today comes from James chapter 2, verses 14 through 18. Faith without works is dead. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but you do not have works? Can faith save you? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, "Go in peace, keep warm, and eat your fill," and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. But someone will say, "You have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without works, and I, by my works, will show you my faith." Please stand for the gospel if you're able. Our gospel lesson today is from Luke chapter 8, verses 22 through 25. One day, he got into a boat with his disciples, and he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side of the lake." So they put out, and while they were sailing, he fell asleep. A gale swept down on the lake, and the boat was filling with water, and they were in danger. They went to him and woke him up, shouting, "Master, Master, we are perishing." And he woke up and rebuked the wind and the raging waves. They ceased, and there was calm. He said to them, "Where is your faith?" They were afraid and amazed and said to one another, "Who then is this that he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him?" So ends the reading of the gospel. You may be seated.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Taylor Burfiend.
And I'm Heather Veal, and we'll be juniors at Long Reach and Oakland Mills this upcoming fall.
This is my third time preaching, and I'm so excited to finally get a service where people come.
This is my first time preaching, and many of you know a short, balding guy, glasses, beard. He told me to say he's handsome. You know him as DC Veal, I know him as Dad. Well, we've been coming to Glenmar for 13 years now, and me and Taylor are best friends.
Pastor Matt has been doing a series called Red Letter Questions for the last couple of weeks, which are questions that Jesus asks us in the Bible. Since he let us take one of his Sundays that he was scheduled to preach, we decided to follow along with his theme. So thanks for that, Captain. Also, if we crash and burn, it's all your fault.
This week, the question Jesus asks us is, "Where is your faith?" as we heard in the gospel reading today. We decided that there were two ways to interpret this question, and we wanted to be able to answer both. And since Pastor Matt only had 2 points last week, we figured it'd be okay for us to do it too. One way to interpret this question is, "Do you have faith?" Today's gospel reading was the disciples lacking faith in a storm. We need to understand that right before this, Jesus performed a miracle that fed multitudes, and the disciples still lacked faith when they became scared during a storm.
If we saw Jesus with our own eyes turn a little bit of food into enough to feed thousands, we'd have enough faith in him not to be scared during a storm, right? Except that he has done all these amazing things for us, provided food and shelter for all of us, and along with guide us and be there whether we choose to recognize it or not. God has performed miracles in our lives, just as he did in the disciples' lives.
Yet, many of us struggle to remain faithful when things get tough. His question showed us that we need a deep relationship with him to stay faithful through the storm of life. To have a deep relationship with God, we need a firm foundation like any structure. To achieve this foundation, we need a reason for believing. These are found through experiences in life that connect us to God.
They're also found by recognizing the little gifts that God gives us. Through these, we can assure ourselves in our belief in God, therefore supporting that foundation that is so important. For example, have you ever noticed when a group of people sing, it's so much more powerful than when just one person sings? That's a little gift that God gives us that gives us a reason for believing. We can also be the little gifts in other people's lives. We may not know it, but a small action can demonstrate to someone else the power and existence of God.
Whether it's a small action or a big action, being a gift to someone else that shows God's power is our job as followers of God. Which leads us into the second way to interpret the question, where is your faith? Which is really, how do you show it? Because of our many mission trips, we automatically thought about how we show our faith through action.
As we heard in the first lesson, faith without action is dead. But our faith just doesn't become useless. It fades because we are still sinning, which separates us from God. So in order to grow closer to God, we need to act Christ-like in our faith. Mohandas Gandhi said, "I like your Christ. I do not like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ." We need to act like Christ and do his work in order for our faith to grow. Otherwise, we are not doing our job as disciples.
Acting Christ-like doesn't include just going on a mission trip for a week. It involves a lifestyle. We truly have to embody praising God, growing disciples, and serving the world. And this isn't just through missions. This lifestyle needs to be adapted by every Christian in order for our faith to grow or even remain strong.
Without this lifestyle of demonstrating our faith constantly, we'll only enact it when we are comfortable. Me and Heather like to call this the part-time Christian syndrome, or PTCS. It's easily curable. We just need to force ourselves out of that comfort zone that is limiting our faith. It's like a goldfish. Okay, stay with us while we try to explain this.
Let's say Taylor got a goldfish, and she named it Faith. It has friends named Hope and Love, but that's besides the point. Some of you might know that if we put a goldfish in a bigger tank, the goldfish will grow to fit the tank. Our comfort zone is like a tank, and faith grows to fit the tank, or comfort zone, that it's in. So if we limit our tank size, we are also limiting faith's growth. But if we expand our comfort zones, our faith will grow with it. In order to get a bigger tank, we need to invest in it. Same with a comfort zone. We have to put time and effort into services for God that make our comfort zone bigger so our faith can grow. The only way to grow is when we are stretched.
So in order to expand our comfort zones, we need to invest by putting ourselves in situations that when we are doing God's work, we feel uncomfortable. When we put ourselves in these kinds of situations, we are forced to trust God. And when we do this over and over, it becomes natural. The more we have to rely on God, the stronger our faith becomes. But faith is not something that can be achieved by eliminating comfort zones or a number of service hours. It's something that we grow into, and then it grows within us. When we are expanding our tanks, we must let go and trust God. And let God, by putting God in charge, he is able to really help us grow and help others grow. Both me and Heather have been put in situations where we have felt uncomfortable. And we forced ourselves to ask the question, whose needs are being met? Which really means, stop thinking about yourself and let God use you to do his will.
This happened to us when we went to Jacksonville a couple of weeks ago. We were sent to an inner city kids camp for a day, and when we walked in, there were over 60 kids sitting, running, jumping, all in this one little space. So me and Taylor looked at each other and decided we were sticking together. So we ended up doing VBS songs and basically dancing with the kids. This one song, Revolution, stuck out to us because all the kids seemed to relate as they screamed the lyrics and danced much better than me and Taylor. We are going to demonstrate.
Book of Revelation, chapter 7, verses 16 and 17. Yes, sir. They shall hunger no more, neither shall they thirst anymore. Preach, preacher, for God shall wipe away, yes, sir, every tear from their eye. Yes, sir. Get ready. For the revolution.
Okay, so the lyrics are up on the screen now, and as you can see, they represent a childhood much different than how we grow up here. We don't have to deal with people killing each other, daddies leaving their babies, or kids, or corrupt church life or racism on the frequency that these kids have to deal with it. It really put me and Heather out of our comfort zone to learn this dance and trust God completely. We ended up really getting into it, and we learned that it would have been easy to sit on the side and be comfortable, but we both forced ourselves to push that zone and go into the middle of the room and dance. Well, it really helped us grow to see that they really needed attention and a little love. That experience really helped us understand the difference between our childhood and how some kids grow up, and how not only how fortunate we are, but also how we really are blessed to be a blessing.
As we grow in our faith by stepping out of our comfort zone, we can also bring others to God as part of a full-time Christian lifestyle. By living this lifestyle, others may see us acting like Christ and being a good Christian without even talking to them about their faith. We may help bring them to God. When we have Christ's flame in us, we need to share it with other people. By being the connector between God and someone else, we are being God's hands and feet. Being used by God helps us grow closer to Him, and helps someone grow with God is an experience like no other. When we are helping others become disciples, we are able to showcase our faith in God, not only for people to see, but also for God and Jesus to see.
Showcasing our faith helps others see it. And as we said before, the littlest thing can bring someone to God. It may not seem like it matters much, but helping someone with a stroller up the escalator or sharing your umbrella with someone can make someone realize that they're not alone and maybe someone's looking after them or there's something to hope for.
Gandhi also said, almost everything you do will seem insignificant, but it is most important that you do it. So things we do in life may seem like they don't matter, but someone's life or even eternal life could change because of you. Because of you living the lifestyle that demonstrates your faith and Christian love at all times. What is important for us to do in our lives is what God wants us to do, His will.
Jesus' question, where is your faith, is His way of enabling His body of followers to do His work in the world even after He is gone. It was His message to last until His return, to grow His body in number. It was His way to tell us that we need to make our faith apparent to Him, because if it's apparent to Him, it's apparent to others. And He knows that when others see us actively showing our faith, it will bring them to the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus Christ. His question was, where is your faith?
But our question for you today is, how will you show Him? And then somebody said,
Amen.